believe sometimes, but it's true. All right, I'd like for you to everyone get settled down now. Make sure you got your ears on, got your Bibles open. We'll read some scripture in the book of Titus, chapter number 3, the book of Titus. I had a thought on my mind this morning, and when singing that last song there a minute ago, these kids up here, it just really got on my heart strong. And I might have them come sing that second verse again of that last song. I don't know what the name of it was. I never heard it before. But it was a good one. And why don't y'all come up here while I'm reading this scripture? And if you don't mind, sing that second verse of that song again in that chorus. It's going along with the message this morning. And they said something about moving in it, and that's what kind of caught my attention. I hate to move. Don't you? I know some people, they must like it. I don't know. They move 3 and 4 times a year. Every time you see them, they got a different phone number. They ain't even know you to write down. A different address. And I know sometimes people have to because of jobs and things like that. But last time I moved, and we lived up on the hill down there in Hoppy Tom, I said, I'll never want to do this again. I hate to move. But there's one moving that I'm looking forward to. You know what? The reason I hate to move is because you have to pack up all of that junk. Now, I don't worry about this move that we're going to be talking about this morning because we don't have to load up all that junk. We are packed up and ready to go. It's like getting on an airplane, except 10,000 times better and faster and smoother and more wonderful. And so I want to ask them to sing that last song, the last verse of that song again, and then I want to preach to you on the subject, we're going to move out one day.
Sometimes I just need that I don't feel at home where I'm living.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to pack and move away. Just like falling in a straight between going and staying. I'll keep working for the Lord till me. Citizen of two worlds.
Amen. What some kids sing, don't you? They got the right look on their face. Amen. Amen. Titus chapter 2, that famous scripture there. And I'm not going to bring you a full message on the coming of the Lord this morning. I'm just going to bring you a few thoughts that might be an encouragement to some of you that's having it rough this morning, but you know you're saved. We're going to move out one day. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. That's something you look forward to. Not something you dread. Something you look forward to. When 1 Thessalonians talks about Jesus coming, it said, comfort one another with these words. Not scare one another. I've heard people say, oh, preacher, don't talk all that old fairy talk about Jesus coming and us going up in the air and flying through the sky. That ain't scary talk, brother, if you're ready to meet him. Scary talk's thinking about staying down here. They're getting ready to put the whole world under one government system. They're experimenting in Sweden where 6,000 people have taken a mark on their hand to do their business transactions with as an experiment already. Amen. They're getting ready to take away what little bit of freedom we have left to worship and honor God. The world's fitting into the plan of the devil, and under the divine power of God's sovereignty that He said it would go way back yonder hundreds of years ago. And I want to tell you something, brother. Scary talk is thinking about staying here. Good talk is thinking about moving out. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to move out one day. You know, if you're here this morning and you've got burdens and problems, I guess that's a dumb thing to say. I guess everybody in here has got burdens and problems and things that bother you and things that you wish you didn't have in your life. But I'm glad to report to you this morning that it ain't always going to be that way. You're not always going to have to fight the devil. You're not always going to have to fight sin. And you're not always going to have to battle it out with temptation every day. When I think of my life and the burden, I was thinking a while ago, as I was sitting over here, and I saw all the people in here, there was good feelings and bad feelings running through my mind and my heart. I was thinking, oh Lord, what we're going to do, all our burdens and problems. But then I was thinking, now what a great church God has given us. And you know, no matter how good that it seems, down here there's always those thorns and burdens and problems that keep us worried and keep us down. And you kids that have to go to school, I feel sorry for you, and I really do. Bless your heart, it's pitiful. Make a little old young'un 5 years old get up, and it can't even stagger through the house, and ain't even hardly big enough to talk yet. And stick it in there, once your kids get 5 years old, you never see them again. They're grown mad, man, got to put kids of their own before you ever get to spend time with them again. The school just swallows them up, I don't know, and it's bad. And I feel sorry for anybody has to go to school. They're pitiful. You're pitiful. And I'm trying to make you hate it or nothing, but I feel sorry for you. But isn't it great to know, young people, that one of these days you'll never, ever have to sit down and take a test again? Never hear that bell ring again. Never take that clock, time clock, you know, and stick it in that old clock and hear that whistle go off and never see the boss man come by and check on your work and never have to hear another fuss and never have to close your eyes and close your ears to shut out the cussing and the screaming and the rock and roll and the bad things of this world. We're going to move out one of these days. Now, I'll tell you, a lot of people don't believe in the coming of the Lord too imminent right now because there's been so many crackpots predicted when Jesus would come and they was wrong. Old Judge Rutherford and Pastor Russell and them bunch of nuts that founded the Watchtower Society, they said that Jesus was coming back in 1914. And everybody got ready and the 144,000 got together and boy, there's a looking for Jesus to come in 1914. 1914 rolled around and Jesus did not come. And they went, oh, made a mistake there. We meant to say 1925. He'll be here in 1925. And so they went to work and was going to establish the kingdom for the Lord to sit on the throne, you know, and rule it. And they built big mansions for Abraham, people like that, and Moses and Isaac and all them. Of course, you know, it didn't come in 25, and you can take two guesses who got to live in the mansions. But anyway, they got those things together and they looked for Jesus to come in 1925. The Lord did not 1925. And then once in a while there'd be some fanatic popping, and he'd get this wild look in his face like this. He's either on LSD or had demons in him once. And he'd make it look like he's doing them Bible movies, you know, like he's spaced out or something. And he'd come out and say, "The Lord has revealed to me that He is coming back." Well, you know better than Blue might act like that. He might act like that. You can't take them serious. They've got to be. They're on crack or they're full of the devil. One of the two. And boy, they said, "The Lord's coming here and He's going to do this and that." And all these people sold their houses and land, moved up on top of a hill somewhere, and waited on the Lord to come. I've always wondered, if they really believed He was coming, why did they sell them houses? Look like they're just giving away, don't it? That man will take that money with them. But anyway, there's people thought that since those things happened, that when you talk about Jesus now, and the signs are here, and the stage is set, and the Lord really is coming, and the preachers nowadays who have any sense are preaching that He's coming, the population says, "No, I've heard that stuff all of my life. Grandpa and Grandma used to say that. They use old crazy fanatics." Now what the devil has done is he raised up those fanatics to make people throw them for a loop, so that when the real thing really does happen, you'll miss it. You hear me? And so this morning, when the Lord really is, it's like that little boy cried wolf. He's sitting up there watching his daddy's sheep, and he's bored and didn't have nothing to do. He said, "I'm going to have some fun." So he goes downtown, and he says, "Wolf! Wolf!" And everybody goes up on the hill to kill the wolf, and there ain't no wolf. And he laughs and laughs and laughs. About 2 days later, he decided he'd try that again. And he went downtown and said, "Wolf! Wolf!" And he runs up on the hill to kill the wolf. There ain't no wolf. And boy, he laughs and rolls around in the grass. About 3 days later, he's sitting there, and the wolf really did come. And starts getting the sheep. And he goes down there and says, "Wolf! Wolf!" And they said, "Get out of here, man. We're sick and tired of that wolf story. Now go on, Will." He said, "No, I really mean it this time. This is it. There really is a wolf up there. And he's getting the sheep. Get out of here, boy. We're tired of that wolf. Now you got us twice on that. You'll fall for that again. And boy, I tell you what, he goes up there and the wolf devours the sheep. Now don't try to make fun of me for getting my tang tangled up. I didn't get home Robbinsville almost 2 o'clock this morning, and I'll blame it on that. I'm tired. But I'm telling you this, my friends, that wolf got them sheep, and that old boy, he done a fake on them 2 times. They didn't believe the real thing. Same thing is happening about Jesus coming back. The false come along first to fool the population so that they would not be ready for Him when He does come. Listen, I'm working on some things right now. I'm planning on maybe showing some of them to you at the youth rally in about 3 weeks from last night. And I'm working on some things that show you we are living at the doorstep of another age about to dawn on this world. Just as sure as you're sitting in them seats this morning, the world is even planning on new generation coming in. They're making plans for things like Global 2000 and this new world movement, this new age movement. They're wanting to change all society. My like old Quint's going to sing like, he said, "We're going to party like it's 1999. And what he said was, "I woke up this morning, I was dreaming when I wrote this, so forgive me if it goes astray. I woke up the other morning and thought it was Judgment Day. The sky was all purple and people running everywhere and all that. Oops, out of time. So tonight we're going to party like it's 1999. And the world's philosophy is this morning, we're just going to live it up because a new world is going to dawn in the year 2000. But I'm telling you this morning, I'm convinced at the bottom of my heart that the Lord has other plans in mind. And they're building that modern day Tower of Babel, and the Lord's going to
to say, let's go down and see this tower that man's trying to build. And God will change that thing and intervene before he lets man do what man is trying to do. We're going to move out one day. There's people in McDowell County that wish this building would burn up and me in here with it. Well, you wouldn't think there'd be people in McDowell County don't. You wouldn't think that. How could anybody be that narrow-minded and bigoted and prejudiced is to not be like a nice person like me. But there are some people in this town that are so narrow-minded and prejudiced and set in their ways and some other things I can't say or I'd be cussing, that they don't like me. I'm telling you, they say, I wish that Danny Castle would just move out. Hang on, brother. You're going to get your wish. I am going to move out. I am. And I got this for you, the sooner the better. If the Lord decided to come this morning, that'd be fine with me. I got my three girls right here with me this morning. We can all go up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. No more problems. No more burdens. No more gossip. No more lying tales. No more fighting the devil. No more working. No more praying. No more agonizing. No more wind. He'll all be over. When we face the judgment seat of Christ, I bet it'll all be over but the shouting. Amen? I've been showing our new converts class those films on prophecy and about what's going to happen when Jesus comes. And there's up there this morning watching the one on the tribulation. And buddy, I'll sit down in there for a minute and I'll see what's been going on. They were taking people out there and putting them on the guillotine. And in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, there were people in the Word of God who refused the Antichrist mark who were beheaded. Their head, capital punishment, to fuse the mark of the beast. And brother, they were telling the blood running down that thing, people's heads falling off in buckets. I ain't crazy about staying here during that time. I'd just soon move out, wouldn't you? I don't want to see the sun turn to blood, dark, and the moon to blood. I don't want to see people with sores all over their bodies. I don't want to see hailstones big as this pulpit falling out of the sky. I don't want to see the blood run to the horses' bridles over yonder in the great valley and the battle of Armageddon. I don't want to see the plagues and the darkness and the disease and the famine and the war and nuclear wars and bombs being set off in this world. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. You can call me a fanatic, call me old-fashioned, call me crazy, call me overboard on religion, but I have never heard anything this world has to offer that beats the hope that me and you have in the Bible and in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's not out there. See if you can put it out there. There's nothing this world's got to offer like Jesus. We're going to move out because He first loved us. Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. He said before me and you were ever born, I'd go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again. We're going to move out because He saved us by His grace. We're going to move out because our sins are forgiven. You say, well, Brother Danny, I heard that one time you committed a terrible sin. The only thing you missed is you got that one time wrong. There's been more than one. And there's been more than two. And there's been more than three. And there's been more than four. And if I kept going, I caught up with some of you. But I'm telling you this morning, brother, it doesn't matter. People around here haven't forgot it. My sins are forgiven. And I'm going to heaven because my sins are gone. Like that song that you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. You know what you'll do trying to get your sins out of your head? You'll put yourself in a nut house. You'll have a nervous breakdown. You say, what am I going to do? I've done wrong, I've done wrong, I've done wrong. I'll tell you what you better do. You better get them under the flow. You better put them under the blood of Jesus. Crawl them up under the cross of Calvary. That's the only peace of mind you'll ever have. It's getting them out. I don't know that a bit of Catholic all his life and knows what it means to be tangled up in religion. And also what it means to have your sins forgiven. We're going to move out because our sins are forgiven. I talked to this lady the other day, and she'd been saved a lot longer than I have. And I was talking to her, and she was talking about all the problems. She said, "Danny, it just seems like so much is happening nowadays, and so much is going wrong. What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And I said, "Well, listen, maybe the Lord's coming soon."
Yes, sir.
And she looked at me, and she said, "Yeah, but I'm scared I won't go." I said, "Ah, you're crazy." I was more sure of her salvation than she was. She said, "Well, I've been," she believes that if you think one thing wrong and then the Lord comes before you get forgiveness, that you'd be left behind. Now, I ain't trying to be a smart aleck or disrespectful or nothing like that, but son, if I believed that, I'd be one more miserable person. I'd be scared to move, man. I'd be scared to go out of the house afraid I'd sin. I'd be scared to stay at home because I'd be doing wrong. I'd be up to something for God. You can't kill yourself. That'd be wrong. You can't go nowhere. You might see something and want it and covet it and lust after it. You can't stay at home because you ought to be doing that. So you're in bad shape, boy, if that's right. You're in bad shape. Did you know the chances of you dying with absolutely no sin in your life whatsoever, or Jesus coming at one of those rare moments when you're perfect, is very, very slim? You know that slim, man. That slim. We are set by grace, by the grace of God, by the grace of God. You say, "Well, what if we ain't what we're supposed to be?" If we believe not, He is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. When you get saved, you become a part of His body. He's going to take you out of here one of these days. I don't care if He has to drag you through a jail. I don't care if He has to drag you through a mud hole. The Lord's going to take you out of here. That's wonderful to think about. You might go ricocheting off the planets, ding, bang, bang, bang. You know, but you're going, man. You're going when the rest of us go. Wonderful to believe that. He's given us eternal life. I'll tell you how I'm going to move out. They were saying a while ago about being a citizen of two worlds. Our names are written down in heaven. "Oh, you sound like that preacher. He don't believe in rock and roll." Oh, yes, I do. My feet is on the rock. My name is on the roll. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there on the rock. And brother, He's the rock that will not roll. And He's the rock that was here before there ever was a guitar. And He's the rock that was here before there ever was a set of drums or a Def Leppard tape. He's the rock, brother, that's always been there, always will be there. I'm glad my name's on the roll. Don't deserve it. Don't deserve it. Don't deserve it. I ain't going to use an outline this morning. I'm just talking off the top of my head to you. I enjoy talking about the Lord coming back. I'll never forget it. Nebo Baptist Church, 18 years old, on my way to hell. Y'all have heard I had a Honda and had a big sissy bar on the back of that thing. Handlebars way up here, you know. I thought people looked good riding them, so I thought, "Well, it must be fun, so I'll try it." And I bought me one. You know, them things ain't near as much fun as they look. It's all right out here jumping over hills and stuff like that. That's to me one of the boringest things you ever done, driving a motorcycle on the interstate. You're sitting there saying, "This is fun, this is fun. I'm about to blow your eyelids off. I'm having fun, I'm cool, man. I'm, what's his name, you know, Blues. I'm a Harley, you know. Run, run, run. Don't let them fool you, boys. You'll walk like Hoss Cartwright, boy, that you've been on them things a while. I'll tell you, man, I'd a whole lot better sit back in my Toyota and my windows are tinted, I can put the sun visor down, turn the air conditioner down, turn the tape on, then straddle one of them things across creation. I'll tell you something else, babe. Well, you ought to know that they'll ride you. So I was doing that, you know, and I was trying to have fun, and I was trying to show people that I was happy. One night I got miserable. And I'll never forget, we was down at schoolhouse playing ball down there at Nebo. Me and my cousin. I said, "We're going out there to that revival. I'd heard about some of my friends got saved." "Listen to me, young'un. All of you look up here, little bitty'uns. I'm going to tell you how I got saved. And we went out there that night, and we peeked in the back door of that church, and it was full, and they was already standing up singing. I said, I ain't going in there. They'll look at me, my hair's long, they'll say something about me. I know they will. They'll point, they'll stare. That's why you always ought to make people welcome when they come in church. Don't ever, the devil can use you to keep a lot of people out of church if when visitors come in, all you church people go. My soul, who would want to come and sit with a bunch of people like that? You got ready to do in a bar, you know. Oh, buddy, I don't see you here, sit down, you know. In church, it's like, what are you doing in our church? And I was asking myself the same question, man. Those are snobs. They will never want to come back. I said, they'll stare at me. Because I had went to church one time before that, about a year before, and everybody stared at me. And the preacher, he's about that tall. He looked around while he preached, and he pointed right at me. I said, he's looking at my hair. That's what he's doing. He did not have one hair on his head. He's slick as that. I said, he's jealous. And I mean, he pointed at me the whole time. I said, that little preacher don't like my hair. And he probably didn't. God didn't either. You know what? I went in the next night. Went back on Wednesday night. And that night, I'm not preaching a doctrinal message on when names are put in the book of life. I know there's a lot of scripture, but it's just fun to think about. That night I came as an 18-year-old. I fell down about right in here because the altar was so full, you know, you couldn't get close to the altar. There's so many people up there. And it took about 45 minutes. It didn't take God that long to save me. It took me that long to get through sobbing. And when I stood up, it was like up there in heaven. Somebody wrote my name down. And I want to tell you something, friend. The Lord ain't up there with his eraser watching every move you make. Oh, they ain't done wrong. He asked forgiveness, put it back down. But he'd have to have a full-time angel just working for me. Amen. He sure would, boy. I bet them angels got bliss on their hands. Race your name out, put it back. Race it up, put it back. Race it out, put it up. He put her there. And boy, he put my name in that book. And I know I'm going to leave when he hollers. Because my name is in his book. You know what it's like? It's like being snatched. It's like being... Somebody asked me the other day. They said, is the word rapture in the Bible? I said, the word rapture ain't in the Bible, but the word rapture means caught up. And caught up is in the Bible. And the Bible said the Lord's going to come down and he's going to say, let's go! And when he says that, we're going to be snatched. You know what rapture means? It means to be transported swiftly from one place to another. It means now you see me, now you don't. It means here 1 second, and before another second clicks, home to be with the Lord. You say, oh, what am I going to do, preacher? I got so many bills, you know, and this is coming up this summer, and now I don't know how I'm going to help my kids, and don't do this. Well, you can make it today, can't you? If a problem-telling contest, buddy, we'd all blow our brains out before we got out of here today. You want me to start with mine? Some people say, boy, old Brother Danny, teach him to live right. He's made. He just wears a suit and drives around and preaches all the time. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Everybody's got problems. There ain't no such thing as don't have problems. And sometimes I think, God, what in the world am I going to do? And I start looking 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, and the Lord says, will you quit worrying about that?
how do you know you're going to be here 5 years now? I said, that's a good thought. I can make it today, glory to God. You know what I can do today? I can go eat lunch in a little bit, hint, hint. And I can, after that, I can go home and I can read my Bible and pray. And I can come back to church. I can handle that, can't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah! I can handle that! Yes, bring my girls to church tonight. I reckon I could make it tomorrow if I have to. I got tapes to make tomorrow and got bills to pay and got running around to do. Got to sleep tomorrow. Start revival down at Hidden Night. Hour and a half drive. I can handle that. Surely I can make it tomorrow. You see, if you look for Jesus to come any minute, there's no use in having to worry about 10 years from now. Just live your life one day at a time. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to work like you're going to be here for another 100 years. And you're supposed to live like you'll be leaving in the next 5 minutes. We're going to move out one day. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, get us a song this morning. There may be somebody here to say, preacher, I'm carrying a heavy load, a heavy load, a heavy load. And it sure is encouraging this morning to hear you say, the Lord's me. But I need to come to that altar this morning and get some things straight, get some help on some things. And I want to make sure, maybe there's a young person here this morning, and you need to make sure, you need to make absolutely sure that you're ready to go. Maybe there's a teenage girl here this morning that maybe you used to live right, and now you've got out of the will of God. You'd be so ashamed this morning if this come. You know you've been saved, but you'd be so ashamed. Why don't you come this morning and rededicate that life? Would you do it? Dear Lord Jesus, do something for us this morning. Make your coming real to us. Lord, that'll make us do right. Lord, it'll put joy in our heart, looking for that blessed hope. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Jesus. Lord God, use us this morning. Amen. Now, you may need to come and join these on the altar this morning. I just want to give you just a little word of encouragement this morning. You ain't always going to have to live here. Won't always be like this. Broken bodies, broken dreams, broken hearts. Ain't always going to be this way. He's coming soon. Maybe, maybe, much, much sooner than we believe. The stage is set. The platform is ready for the Antichrist to step out on the scene. The church is leaving. Your time is running out. You hear me, teenagers? The world out there, they got a lot of stuff going on. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Kids at school nowadays are worse than kids in college used to be. And kids in college nowadays are worse than the 30-year-olds were 10, 15 years ago. Sin's going down younger and younger and younger and getting these young people. Lord's coming soon. The Lord, I don't care how many times you've heard it, He's coming. He's coming. Let's sing. Let's sing. If you need to come, come on. Come on right now. Come on. Come on. If Jesus is speaking to your heart, just get out of your singing time. Join these on the altar. God is dealing with your heart. Just come on to Jesus this morning. Will you do it? Will you do it right now? If the Lord is dealing with you, will you come?
I'll pray with these on the altar. God's speaking to your heart tonight. This morning, if he is, you need to do it before tonight. Maybe some of us need to really rededicate your life. You say, Brother Danny, I've tried it so many times. I'm just tired of trying. Every time I really get in there and try to do right, I mess up again. Well, ain't you glad Jesus can give up? Try it again, friend. Try it again. It's worth it. It's worth it. If you have to rededicate your life 500 times a day, it's worth it. Get in there for God. Hit it another leg. Reenlist. Be ready to meet him when he comes. Some of you may be here and you used to really be active. You was in the church and you was working in the church, and somehow or another devil just caused things to come along and discouraged you and knocked you out. Don't let him do it to you. Don't let him do it to you. Just shake yourself and get back in the battle. Jesus is coming soon. It'll be worth it all. Father, we thank you for the privilege. Looking forward to that blessed hope. Lord, we believe we'll be alive when you come, unless we die by way of an accident. Lord, we don't know for sure, but we believe you're coming soon. And our Father, this morning, as we pray unto thee, we pray for these that are here this morning who are not yet sure. Help them, Lord, to settle that thing once and for all and forever between you and them. God, we'll praise you. We'll thank you for it. Thank you for these that are on the altar. Give them what they need. In Jesus' name, amen.